peace is a huge part of God's economy for us as a believer. I've talked to you even in recent weeks and months about this issue for me. Whenever let's take it's 11 o'clock in the morning and I'm feeling all anxious and stressful. And I go, man, what happened? And I ask myself the question, where did you leave your peace? Because I had it. It's mine. It's my possession. So I just got to find out where I dropped it. Why don't you grab your Bibles, if you would, and open to Philippians chapter 4. I've had two reoccurring themes in my heart for the last at least 6 months. In fact, I wrote out, we're going to read verse 8 in a little bit, but I wrote out a whole study on that that I did maybe as much as a year ago, at least 6-8 months ago, just for myself, just because I could feel what was happening in the air, so to speak. I've been very, very much aware of the battle that has been going on for many people in their thought life, in the mind. And I don't like talking about anything negative in a way that fuels it. Sometimes we have the ability to talk about problems and we actually make the problems grow. So I'm not interested in that, obviously. But I do want to address a couple things. The two items that have been on my mind a lot are going to merge today in today's talk. One is the issue of prayer, the whole thing of first love relationship with Jesus. And the second is the whole issue of the mind and what God has assigned for us to do with the mind. The enemy is very, very nervous about several things about your life and mine. One is that he works to keep us exposed to anxiety, stress, those kinds of things, because that undermines our creative expression. It's very difficult to operate out of a place of health when you're anxious and stressful. When you're filled with anxiety and stress, the goal is survival, not creative expression. And the Lord really desires, longs to express who he is through his people, his own nature, the way he functions, his beauty, the glory, the creative, all that stuff flows through a yielded believer when they are free from the issues of anxiety and stress. And it is possible to live free of anxiety and stress. Jesus illustrates it. He's headed to the cross and he's giving thanks. We'll look at that a little bit more later. But the point is, as both Paul and Jesus illustrate something that's almost scary profound in how they modeled life going into the most difficult situation possible. But they did it not just as survivors, not just to stay positive and, you know, stiff upper lip, that whole thing, but as an overcomer. They went into a hellish situation and came out absolutely glorious because there was a way to think. I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm not talking about just mental exercise. I'm talking about a perception that comes when we see what Jesus sees. We see the way he sees. So the enemy has several things that he's very, very, I believe, nervous about. Three I'll mention to you today. The first is this issue of creativity. And I'm not putting these in perhaps the right order, but I'm just going to randomly mention them. The first is the creative expression. No one who knows who God made them to be would ever want to be anyone else. The uniqueness of every individual is so beautiful and so profound that stepping fully into who God made us to be is the greatest privilege in life. And there is no comparison when you look at another person as to what you could actually become by God's design. So the creative expression is very rich and very real. The second thing is that the enemy is very, very nervous about the whole issue of our first love relationship with the Lord. That's been on my mind a lot lately, and the Lord has just kind of stirring my own heart, stirring the pot, so to speak, about this intimate relationship with God. Because what happens is anxiety infects love. You can't be anxious and keep the kind of fervent relationship with the Lord that all of us long for. I don't mean that we've rejected him, he's rejected us. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying anxiety is exalting another ideal over what he has promised. I am actually giving my heart, my thoughts to that which is inferior to the word of the Lord. It is true that love annihilates fear, but it's also true if I embrace anxiety, fear, any of that stuff, that I have allowed something into my life that will infect love. And the first thing to be addressed is my first love relationship with Jesus. I remind you of the passage in Revelation chapter 2 where Jesus is addressing the church at Ephesus, a great church. And he honors them for so many things. But then he says, I have this against you. You've left your first love. That you used to burn with, you don't burn with anymore. You've got the structure down. You've got the skill down. You function in the gifts well. But this first love, this burning affection that we are to carry for Jesus is not like it used to be. And then he gives specific instruction. So we've got the creative expression. We've got the first love. And the third thing I would mention is that the attack on the fear, let me back, I'm sorry. Every thought comes from fear or love. Every word out of my mouth comes from fear or love. So what does the enemy want to undermine then? He's working, if he can get me to compromise my first love, then he can get me to lose my sense of identity. And that's what fear and anxiety does. It causes me to lose track of the tools he's given me, the authority he's given me. Peace is a huge part of God's economy for us as a believer. I've talked to you even in recent weeks and months about this issue for me. Whenever it's 11 o'clock in the morning and I'm feeling all anxious and stressful. And I go, man, what happened? And I ask myself the question, where did you leave your peace? Because I had it. It's mine. It's my possession. So I just got to find out where I dropped it. So I back up and I go, okay, oh yeah, I was feeling stressful there. Oh, it was that phone call I got this morning. And it might not have even been a bad one, but my reaction to information or to a situation was for me to become anxious. And I embraced a lie. I embraced inferior information over the word of the Lord over my life. It wasn't a conscious decision, but it happened nonetheless. And so what I have to do is I always have to repent my way back to where I left my peace, repent, confess my sin, pick it up, and just realize it's my permanent possession. Peace in the kingdom is very, very profound because peace is not the absence of something, it's the presence of someone. Peace is actually a person. It's the abiding presence of the Spirit of God in my life. I'm not saying I can drop it or leave it in the sense that he abandons me. But the felt awareness of him gets laid aside. In the world, peace is always the absence of something. It's the absence of noise or war or conflict. In the kingdom, you can be in the middle of all those and have peace because peace is a person. So I repent my way back, embrace peace once again, and use that as my lifestyle. Watch this, Dan. I really felt strong this morning that the Lord was going to end, for many, many, many people, he was going to end a mental battle that has been going on for a long time. And in fact, I feel like I just should announce, this is the end of that season of anguish, anxiety, that thing ends. Circumstances don't always immediately end. Sometimes it's me who need to change so that they can change. And I really believe that the Lord is releasing a grace for this right now. So let's pray together, and then I'll turn it over to Tom, and we'll wrap it up, all right? So, Father, I thank you for the fact that you give us tools that work and that we can expect and anticipate things to be different simply because we have anchored our hearts into the superior, not to be influenced by the inferior. I'm asking now for a grace over the heart and the mind of the people of God, that our thought life would accurately represent who you are and the resource you've made available for us. I ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus.